Hi.
Radio.
I'd like to start this show with a song. New you, you, you. It's something for each person to test for themselves to see if it connects you with real guidance and real education. Maybe 10 minutes before you go to sleep at night and 10 minutes in the morning. Anyway, to find out for yourself. Today, we have an interview with Andrew Bart Zeis. And I'll give you the bio that Dean Val of Nations United Universal University sent. And it says, Andrew Bart Zeis, transcendent teacher, shaman, and Reiki master, with the rare ability of being able to access the Akashic records of our planet and all this universe encompasses at will. Also known as a galactic historian, he's able to read and interpret individual, cultural, global, and galactic histories, past, present, and future, with everyone who's eager to learn. Just as if you would look through a clear glass of pure water, Andrew can read the Akashic records while in a fully conscious state, which means that he can read your records while fully engaging with you in a warm, lighthearted manner and sacred, neutral state. As an Akashic reader and master healer for over a quarter century, his goal is to help the world around him by sharing information from this sacred neutral state of no time, by bringing forth the power of contract revocations. He helps individuals reclaim their sovereign free will and find their way to peace, joy, and happiness. For indeed, that is what we all seek. So maybe to start with, David, you could tell us a little about what a transcendent teacher, a shaman, and Reiki master, and the galactic historian words mean.
Hey, everyone. How you doing today?
Great, good. Great.
Thanks for being on. Thank
you. So a transcendent teacher is one that takes teachings from many layers of perspective throughout history, not just one. Part of the specialty of what I do is I can create and connect to collectives of educated versions of myself, past, present, and future, and other versions of other people who are outside of time, suspending information for those that are seekers of knowledge, seekers of wisdom, on the journey to what I call the unlimited point of view. We live in a world that is limited, and the transcendent teacher is to transcend our limitations and our arguments for limitations so that we can achieve this unlimited point of view by starting with what's called a sacred neutral point of view, where the inside you, that is which is connecting to the allness of the universe and the many planets you've existed and coexisted on, as part of a perception and filter of information that expands your knowingness, so that you can take something that is a 1 million or 2 million letter alphabet and translate it down to our 26 letter encoded English alphabet here. Very similar to light language translation, but this takes on new levels. You are past, present, and future simultaneously existing as an I, and I can connect over to hundreds of thousands of simultaneous existing worlds and create a collective of teachings from many points of view in many languages to help people on that journey to discover their own unlimited point of view and their own journey into experiencing the unlimited point of view.
Thank you. One other thing I wanted to ask is, by bringing forth the power of contract revocations, I don't know quite what those words mean, contract revocations.
So we all have spiritual contracts in our life. There's, you're familiar with reincarnation, where you're constantly repeating. When you are a fetus in your mother's womb, you are in what's called the planning stage, where who your third grade teacher is going to be, who your first lover is going to be, when your life and death process is going to be. And we create spiritual contracts with beings like mothers, fathers, brothers, cousins, uncles, and people we may love or hate. And those spiritual contracts can often be repeated lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. And when we become fully aware of our ability to choose, we know that in any moment when something is negative in our frequency and challenging us, we can, in the power of now, reclaim our ability to say no, not in this moment of now, past, present, or future, will your negativity affect my being and my presence. It's a form of what's called the name it to claim it system. That which you claim in the moment cannot have power in you, over you. The universe is not working against you. And in these now moments, we can greatly expand ourselves through the journey of prayer that includes the form of revocation of contracts, becoming aware. Like our government has a series of spiritual contracts with us. When you're born, you have your foot stamped, you have a social security number, and so on and so forth. Those are all things that can entangle you into karmic reactions or put you in a situation where you cannot break out of a cycle. And the spiritual journey to reclaiming your authority to be a full sovereign being of choice, that is the essence of what contract revocation is.
Thank you, Andrew. I've got a question that I'll ask, and then we'll have other people talk with you too. I want to remind everyone that Andrew says that he doesn't want to address anything about flat earth or about Jesus. So those are kind of off limits to deal with him. So I'll ask this question and see what you have to say about it. Why haven't humans been able to create a world without wars, disease, pollution, starvation?
So on and so forth. Well, the answer is they have, right. just not in this existing timeline that we're on. So we must understand that there are parallel realities of experience. And each time the utopian type world comes into existence, there is the dystopian opposite. And right now we are in this pendulum process of utopian, dystopian. And it's about us in the individual moments of now who no longer want to choose the pendulum of experiences, and that we create our own sovereign bubble of reality that uses natural time, not Roman numeral time, or what I call fraud time. When we become spiritual beings, just like you've all experienced, you have a different inner sense of personal wealth that comes to you. And we want to be able to share this inner wealth. The world of the Great Awakening that we're in, or what I call the Great Dreamtime Awakening, is about sharing your individual awakening. But we must individually awaken first so that we can share the utopian presence day by day, week by week, that is no longer adhering to Roman numeral time. Roman numeral time is linked to the Babylonian money magic. It is linked to the fiat currency and all those other things that are depression, suppression, and regression of the human spirit. So utopia does exist in people's minds, but to get it to the next layer, we're a global society of individuals. We must shed off the concepts of full government interaction where we don't have our full sovereign choice. Here in the United States, we have 505 members or 510 members of the Congress and the Senate. We have over 380 million people. Even if we had 10% representation of 380 million people, there would be 3.8 million people in Congress and Senate. That would still not represent everyone's point of view. We must be able to transcend government as the limiting process so that a more utopian society to be based off the individual's needs, who use their own sovereign frequency of time itself, where we're no longer sharing time based off of value and money that is connected to the human soul, that is in a spiritual contract to limit people.
Thank you again, Andrew. So I'll open up to anybody that has a statement or a question for Andrew. Who would like to start?
Yes, Andrew, this is Dean Val again, and I appreciate your answers. The first two were, okay, the first, we're kind of on the same wavelength, you could say. We have a different way of articulating it, but basically, if you remember, you were talking about, well, I'll just put it this way, pulling the unknown into the known, something that you can, something that's unknown, but you pull it into a way that people can relate to it. And that's what we're doing with our presentation, for one. And it's very difficult sometimes for people to relate to what is unknown, because they're relating to something literal and something that they know. But if I asked you, what is it that you don't know, could you answer that?
Yes.
Okay.
There's an easy answer. I am always on the edge of making the unknown known, and that's my journey to the unlimited point of view. Inside my knowingness is everything. I just don't know it until this moment that I need to know it. And that's available to everyone. Inside your DNA is all the information throughout history and how to connect to the Akashic Records. What I do when I connect to the Akashic Record is I had an experience when I was 9 years old that opened me up like a gigantic internet pipe. And ever since then, I've been living as a multidimensional, multifunctional photonic light, being a light, simultaneously aware of all of my other existences in all different worlds. And they're aware of me too. So it's a collective of many me's. So what is it that I don't know? Do you know the next word that's going to come out of your mouth in a fluid conversation?
Right. Well, you don't have you just do it.
You don't have to. So what is in my, what do I not know? Anything that hasn't been asked to me in the moment that I haven't been talked about. And do I forget stuff? Absolutely. I've done over 4,000 hours of radio interviews. I can tell you there's plenty of things that I forgot. Plenty of things that are vastly important to certain people in certain areas of galactic history. But to me, they're not relevant to my greater growth unless in this moment of now, somebody's specifically asking a question that relates to the collective of people that are listening, past, present, and future, and how that information, when properly translated in the sacred neutral point of view, can expand your perceptions, your perspectives, and the layers of your wisdom, your own inner wisdom. As I said, I'm right on the edge of always making the unknown known, and I don't have fear of that.
Yes, we are also, we call it risk-taking, the risk-taker position. You're always in the danger zone.
I kind of even limited those words out because nothing is dangerous to me anymore. I've seen things that, you know, are the worst of the worst in the Akashic Records because it was necessary for me to see it. Because I maintain a very neutral perspective, none of the charge or polarity from the experience sticks to me. So there's a different perspective when you are observing the information from what it is from many different points of view.
That's agreeable. I agree. Now, the other thing you said was the second question. You talked about the karma, basically, and the contracts that we have with people and things. And on our end, we call them tap lines. They're just basically, and a lot of them are unconscious. Most of them are unconscious agreements because, like you say, we could have made these in the fetus, you know, when we were in our mother's womb. So a lot of these things are holding us back and we're not as aware of we could be. So I'm just curious if you could, you said you'd be willing to do a reading. Well, I was wondering if you could see, I'm associated with a number of guides and I work with a number of guides, and I wonder if you could see them or name them or maybe discuss them and see what you see.
Okay, so the way that I work, when I take a slice of time of a person and then translate it back, it's all about what form of pattern recognition is created. So right now you have two different collective of beings that are working with you. One collective of beings is a Hollow Earth group who is trying to, let's just say, bring a new layer of understanding of what galactic politics really looks like. And they work with you at a very physical level and try to connect you to people who must also understand what galactic politics really is, and that certain politics have certain religions within them and all sorts of other subcontexts. You also have another group of beings that are working with you who will just call that another form of collective, who are trying to help you understand that life is a journey of joy and happiness, but humanity isn't aware of the journey of joy and happiness, and that the journey to joy and happiness is a challenge for people in this world because of the layers of programming that are many thousands of years old. And they're trying to help you understand that joy and happiness and politics of the underworld, they have to mix. And those two groups come together and can create councils, can create organizations that help you disseminate the vast volumes of information that are out there based off of your listenership, your viewership, whatever books and stuff that you write. And it's not just who's reading them now. It's past, present, and every potential being who's ever going to witness any form of your material in the future. And these types of beings that are working with you are quite aware at some point your material is going to do that whole bell curve where it's going to take off, and they're trying to guide you to that day the bell curve takes off through your knowingness, through the, let's just say, encouragement of the journey that you're on. Now, on a more, let's just say, specific layer, you have a variety of beings that are trying to help you create, how do I put this? A new form of spiritual prayer that is based off of the awareness of what was done to humanity over about a period of about 35,000 years. And this slice of 35,000 years is important to understand that there are off-world beings, past, good and bad, and neutral, and on-world beings, good, bad, and neutral, all creating a massive soup of miscreation. And what they're trying to say is, at, you know, 32,000 years, somebody put too much pepper into the soup. At 9,000 years, somebody put a whole bunch of onions in the soup. At 2,000 years ago, some really smart being came back to 35,000 years through time travel and tried to erase the whole soup. So they're trying to explain to you all the different versions of soup that are now bubbling to the surface now in our time. So whether it's Syrians, Arcturians, Pleiadians, all of them have whatever spice they've added to the soup. And your guides are trying to say, well, this group used this spice, this group used this spice, this group tried to wipe everybody's spices out. Does that connect you?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's good. Just one more question, and I'll let Claudie speak. What about Rebazar Tars? Does that what do you get from Rebazar Tars? You see anything?
Can you
from
spell
that?
It? Can you spell it?
It's Rebazar Tars.
All right, so that is what I call a light construct organization from off-world beings, generally from Sirius Alpha and Sirius Beta, who then transit into Sirius 3. I don't know if you're aware that Sirius split into two, and then those two that split realized that they should have never split at all because they created a rift in time-space realities. And then they created a third Sirian collective of beings who try to balance what the light and the dark were doing through DNA engineering. And this group is trying to help you understand that humanity also must go through a separation and a realignment to the great threes, the law of three, instead of the law of one or the law of two, which most people have no idea that there's law of two, law of three, law of four, law of five, and all the way up to the law of 29.
Okay,
before
thank you.
Exit out of this dimensional awareness.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Give it over to Claudie from Corpus Christi.
Thank you. I'll be with you in a moment, please.
Okay, in a minute. Is Sandy there from Wisconsin? Okay, I see her number, but she's not speaking up. Let's wait for Claudie. Claudie should be here in a minute. In the meantime, did you get anything from the new you sound that Tim sang in the beginning of the show? It goes like this. New you.
Mm-hmm. So all sound is just light in another format. So what I'm going to do is translate what you're creating here as a sound format of how I see it in light. Ukihik, ukihik, aka, aka iku, utik ata aku, chihi o aka. What it's representing is we are here, we are present, we are aware. We are here, we are present, we are aware. We are not here to discreate or to uncreate, we are here to co-create. So there's much more in that encodement, but that's essentially the essence of what he was doing in the note creation.
And that you got from where? What source was
just
that?
Just his. Well, I can translate about 900,000 different forms of light language. Part of the Galactic Historian thing that I have my levels of awareness. So in your sound are tens of thousands of other, let's just say, forms of language that are encoded there, and it's just a matter of taking sound and encoding it back into light, and then encoding it back into sound again, and then translating the light to sound process.
Is this off the causal plane, as we call it?
No, this is a completely non-local, non-causality process. It's in exactly in the moment, direct decodement translation.
Okay. Claudie, are you there? Did you come back?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How did you get on this journey?
For Dean Val or Tim?
For both of you, actually.
Okay. Be my guest, Tim.
Well, I guess the way I'm aware of it is in this particular life and all the experiences that I've had and the experimentation in many ways to try to find happiness or what life's all about, looking at religions and trying to see if that was the way, and through meditation and through books that were very important in my life, like The Impersonal Life. Yeah.
Do you remember being taken up on ships at a very young age?
No, I don't have any memory of it, but I do have my left foot in the inside arch just this year has me wondering about it because I have a sore spot there and I don't really understand any reason why it is there. So it's just a wonderment. I have no awareness about being abducted or implanted or anything
No.
But I wonder.
You weren't abducted. You were brought up on a ship to be educated. You were 3 years old when your first time you were brought up there.
Wow.
Where were you living at three?
I think I was if I wasn't in Napa, California, where I was born, I might have been in Suisun, California.
Do you ever remember, let's say age 10, being heavily interested in space and stuff like that? I mean, it's very common for people at that by then.
Are you there, Tim? Well,
yep. I don't know if he's there. This kind of happens. This kind of happens on Blog Talk Radio. Whenever I go high frequency, it kind of like has a hissy fit.
Yeah, it shows he's on and he's not muted. So, well, until he comes.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, great. No, I don't have any recollection of being having anything to do with aliens.
No. Just interested in space travel itself.
Yes, I have been interested a bit, and I have seen some things. When I was younger, I saw some form of light that pulsated, and it went faster and faster. And then all of a sudden, and brighter and brighter, and then it disappeared right in my eyes. And I wondered what was going on about that.
You were being
traveled.
You have all this time traveler energy around you right now. That's why I asked if you remembered anything when you were a young age. At some point in your life, you're going to have like a whole bunch of memories that you knew were there, but were just, let's just say, ignored for whatever reason, reemerge in you. And that's why you have this type of soul family around you right now. They're the net to help you go through a greater awakening to the information that you have within you.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I guess we'll have to wait a while to find out to remember, huh?
Time is irrelevant for this type of stuff. You could have a dream where it all could come back, but it's still about understanding what you will do with the information. And this is why, once again, you have the type of soul family you have around you. Yeah. If these people aren't around you, how would life be for you? Much harder, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I've seen the effects of by certain things I've read, like by a being called Paul Twitchell that started a corporate, I don't know if it's called a corporation called Eckencar or what, and he talked about there was a book called The Ancient Science of Prophecy, the Ekvidya, and it had a big effect on me about changing my lifestyle from no more alcohol and no more cigarettes and no more drugs. And so that was a big effect. And then I became involved with this Eckencar group for like 7 years. And then I was looking at this tech equipment, this modern stuff, and it had something about the truth of Eckencar by Kelsey Lynn Brown and Val, I think. And I was very interested in it. And it was talking about what had taken place that I didn't know about this group, Eckencar. So it was guiding me to this new presentation, these wonderful worldwide educators. So right now, that's what I am involved with, trying to present this to the world.
You have what I call, your way has been cleared for you. You understood that the path wasn't broken and the way is clear for you. And as the way becomes more clear, more and more of your ability to remember will be there. More and more books and conversations will unlock greater knowingnesses within you. Just like you realize no more drugs and alcohol made you a better human being.
Yeah, thanks. It'll be interesting to see the recollections. Yeah, go ahead, Val and Andrew.
Go ahead. If you want to finish, Tim, we're curious about your story. It's okay.
Well, right now, my main focus is presenting this new presentation. I'm trying to find creative ways of, like, this radio show, and by reading some of these Adventure Is series of books that Duane Hepner, Duane the great writer, he goes by, that are available at lulu.com.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome. To let people test for themselves, to see for themselves if it's important to them in this world. Because the way I'm seeing it, what I'm becoming aware of is that these psych realms that I'm becoming aware of, this is the physical, and then there's the astral and the causal and the mental and the etheric, and then a deep dark border like an eggshell. And then it gets, if you get through the deep dark border into the real universes of the all is, that's so we don't have to keep coming back and having lessons here in the physical or these other psych realms where there's, we don't have any authorities anymore and no brutalitarians, and so that we're free beings of real light.
Well put, well put. Conscious beings of choice who must learn to produce their own light and not give their light away anymore.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Yes, that's, I'll just follow through on that too. I'll just agree to these, we call them the real universes or the worlds, or the, it's not really a place. See, that's the thing. People are literal, so they think, or they're going to heaven, or they're going to be enlightened or something. It's going to be a consciousness, which is, again, it's created. Consciousness is created. It's not like an isness. So we call it the isness. It just is. You can't add to it. You can't create anything that's perfect. You can, but you can do anything you want, but it doesn't really mean anything. It's rather like an illusion or something, because the isness is real. This reality just is. And it's for us to recognize it in our own way and have a relationship with it in our own way. So,
use the fundamentals of nature as the operating system and understanding for the experience.
Exactly, exactly. The birds, they don't have stop signs and governments and borders and things like that. They just, you know, they just are with what the body types they are. They have to live with. And it's about survival. I mean, it is here, especially in the lower, we call them lower worlds or creation worlds, psychic worlds. It's really about survival. And the more aware you are, the better off you are. So so these, I don't know, maybe later on you can talk about what you see with the deep dark border, because this is where nirvana, a lot of the gurus, the yogis, they think they've reached the end of all things because they blank their mind, etc. But there's more. There's more than that. There's a lot more. So maybe you can mention that later, or now, maybe if you like.
So I have a general statement. We are part of all that is, was, and ever will be. On that journey to understanding all that is, was, and ever will be, will be stop signs and road markers in many different layers of reality. And we must challenge ourselves to see these layers of reality without charge or polarity on the journey to understand that all that is, was, and ever will be is us as past, present, and future beings simultaneously existing on the journey to awareness of the unlimited point of view. On the journey to the unlimited point of view, we have many limitations, some that we argue for. I'm going to be in this reality because I haven't solved my karma with this person, this person, this person. And then on that journey to all that is, was, and ever will be, you have already solved it at one layer, but until your perception allows it to be something a part of you, the causal realities will still be there to help you solve and resolve karmas or create dharmas so others can get off the karmic path and be on their dharmic creation path where all that is, was, and ever will be can be an experience in this now moment.
Yes, you articulate it very well. Do you see this deep, dark border as anything? I know you have an expansive way of seeing things, but we kind of, we use these layers of experiences or bodies that we have. Mm-hmm.
What do you define as the deep, dark border first?
Well, it's basically a dividing line between creation, which is what we've agreed upon here, to this unknown area, which is basically the real part of us, a real awareness. So it's like a division, like a big dividing.
So there is no separation. That's the first thing to understand. It is only our perception, perspectives, and our perception deception filters that allow us to perceive a separation. The journey into what you will call the deep dark border is still right on the fine line of making the unknown known without fear. Now, there are other things which I would define as the void, where nothing at all exists, no light, no nothing. And many people go and experience the void as a natural perception, where they're in a complete void space, where their light can shine in infinite directions, and then they can create constructs of light. There can be a perception where you're not all a part of all that is, was, and ever will be, so that something that is very much unknown, deep into an ancient, ancient past or future, where you can begin to experience in this moment of now, where you're so far beyond the unknown that you don't have language or even a way to describe it. It just simply comes off as a mystical experience that can take you decades to unravel in your mind.
Right. Yeah, well put. We just use these terms for the literal mind so we can communicate.
Yeah.
But
right.
Is Sandy or Claudia, are you around? Would you like to come on board here?
Yes, sir. This is Claudia in Texas.
Hi, Claudia. How are you doing?
Fine. What a fabulous guest you are with so much information to share.
Thank you.
My question is, in your particular talent or ability, capability that you have acquired this lifetime, have you interacted with extraterrestrials living on the planet now?
Absolutely. It's dozens, scores, hundreds, thousands.
And how do you...
Seen and unseen.
Yeah, that's the part. They can walk around in front of you and be completely disguised and you won't recognize them.
Well, with me, they have to be really talented for me to not notice them.
Yes, I agree.
I kind of call it like, have you ever been in the inner city and you see taggers, tagging the side of the walls and pictures in paint?
Yeah.
Off-worlders have figured out how to color themselves like tagging art to make you look human. Okay?
Yes.
And I kind of just recognize the style until they become very artistic with their light. Very artistic.
Yes. And then there are some extraterrestrials that are not well. I'm going to use that term.
I get it. I've encountered them too. Yep.
And so how do you ever do the Akashic Records for them to see what is the connection between their planet and our planet?
Absolutely. I have them regularly call into my radio show over the last 7 to 9 years. So, yes, sometimes they come for personal private sessions. Sometimes they come to retreats. And sometimes the human that comes to visit me doesn't realize there might be 7 or 8 alien beings stuck inside them because of a, let's say, technological time travel disaster that happened thousands of years ago, and they're stuck in a lineage, in a reincarnating lineage, and that human doesn't realize what's going on into them, and they hear all these voices over many years, and I help them separate the voices, and then I can help separate the alien out of the body and bring it back to its home world so it can become an astral being again and go through its life review on its home world.
What do you find is the agenda of the sick extraterrestrials?
Well, there's so many sick extraterrestrials. You have to define them as annihilation. Those are the sickest. They're trying to uncreate the universe so they can recreate it in their own image, so that there isn't a prime creator or a universal being of oneness. They want to overwrite the universal oneness so that their oneness is all oneness. And then you have other ones who want to control everyone's perception of time and make them what we would call founder beings, the ones that created your race, and they want to be worshipped as gods. And then you have other ones who are here to just technologically manipulate people for resources. Now, if you mine gold out of the ground, it can be transmuted into billions of different things. The light here on Earth creates special matter, and very special matter has unique properties on other worlds. So they oftentimes will work with specific human beings who are miners, this and that, to extract things out of human beings, whether it's elements out of them, so that they can transmute them here on this world, taking them to another world, and then transmute it to a much higher density material that can then be used to create technologies that can alter time, space, because they're all about controlling time and space. And then you have other ones who we'll simply call more demonic, because they followed a story arc for many thousands of years, and they don't want to break the story arc because so many people believe in that story.
Yes, yes. And it seems to be continually refreshed, so to speak, to keep
regurgitated.
Keep us in darkness and in fear, and of course the things, the wars that are instigated in many instances where some of the I guess you could say louche is the term that's been used on the internet to describe the access of collecting negative emotions to feed upon, and of course extraterrestrials that feed upon the human species itself.
The human condition.
Yeah.
If we weren't in this condition, they wouldn't be able to feed off of us.
Correct. Our agreements with them seem to continue on, and we'll have to break those agreements. I think you call them contracts.
Contract revocation, yes. Reclaiming your authority so nothing can use your authority as tacit consent.
Yes. There you go. My experience with extraterrestrials started at birth and came on through. I'm in the 70s, so I've had abduction experiences and so forth. Now, because I have been a part of the new presentation for the last 6 or 7 years, more information is coming out, which enlightens, enlarges the scope of seeing, in the sense, what's going on around. Sometimes most people I run into, my family included, do not see any of the things that I see, which, okay, you let them go down their road and you go down your road, and, you know, good luck. I think this is one of the things that your talent is providing, is a help to others to actually come into agreement that there are things that they do not see that exist. There are conditions that have come about that they didn't want, but they agreed to at some point in time, maybe several lifetimes ago, and now they're having to deal with it. What do you offer to these people?
So what you just said is they have to deal with it as a conscious being of choice and awareness. You are only equal, your responsibility is only equal to your level of awareness. And oftentimes people who can't perceive the information that you are don't have enough responsibility in their own life force to be that high level of awareness, because they don't have a daily spiritual practice. They don't have spiritual hygiene that keeps them clear enough so that their awareness can go through expansions and expansions. That's what the awakening is about. And yes, my talent is to help people discover that you must be responsible to your awareness. And there is information out there that is weaponized to take you into unawareness, where tacit consent can be used against you.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we stay uninformed and still in slavery. Thank you.
Ignorant, blissfully ignorant.
Yes, and the thing is, Earth now is in trouble, and it needs help.
This is where I will differ. The Earth is not in trouble. That is the perception of marketing through the New Age community that has confused what it is. Our condition has been created by this planet over many millions of years. It is fully a part of the light, the dark, the in-between, and everything else. It is a celestial being that can live with trillions of beings on its surface, subsurface, and astral world. It is a giant collective of love that is here to ground you in a point in space-time in a solar system that is rotating around a galaxy. That is your galactic time. Your avatar or higher spirit incarnates or reincarnates into a sub-frequency of time in your solar system to resolve generational karmas or eras of light karma. Now, oftentimes when people are connected into off-world beings, there are other eras of light where whole species hated another species and that karma was never resolved because those worlds were destroyed or whatever ended up happening. And then huge volumes of the species come to live here and they don't realize they're living right next door to somebody they should hate. But in their unawareness, they become neighbors, they become friends, and they resolve things in that unawareness. But it's still the fetus in the womb that helps you plan the grander journey where blissfully ignorant is still resolving karma one way or another.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. It is deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
Andrew, do you do dreams? Do you have what we call real side experiences? I mean, what are they like? I'm just curious. Are you conscious?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I do have normal dreams like everyone else, and then I have something else that's called superluminal dreams, where I'm experiencing light and many worlds. I'm simultaneously existing in many dream worlds and experiencing many dreams very fast, or traveling between galaxies and universes and experiencing the change in eras of light and history. So I do have normal dreams, but I also have these other dreams that help me understand on a grander scale what dreaming really is. This is why I call this a great dreamtime awakening. And something that I talk about frequently, the great awakening that everyone is going through is really a dream awakening to no separation, no duality. And part of superluminal dreaming is exposing me to all the other dreaming versions of myself. You're dreaming you, I'm dreaming me, we're all dreaming each other, and the Earth is dreaming all of us, part of a grand dream on many different scales of awareness.
Yes. Now, you know, you mentioned the Prime Creator, and we see the Prime Creator as the basically the top of the creation world, one of them, one of the big influences. Now, there's another one that we call the Prime Creator we see is the Kalam God. He is the benevolent and he's the evil one, you know, those the dualities. Then there's the influence, and she or he basically is the sum total of all the desires and wishes of the people incarnate. Mm-hmm. And then there's the supreme deceptor, which is even the Kalam God, or this being doesn't even see or recognize or maybe even believe in. So he's basically the supreme deceptor is like keeps us basically in this creation matrix, unaware and believing that what we agree upon is real. So these are kind of our takes on these beings. So I wonder how you see the Prime Creator in your referencing of reality.
All right. So Prime Creator, so there are an infinite amount of galaxies and universe in existence. When a new galaxy is created, there is one being who has come from some other universe, some other galaxy, who has experienced an infinitude amount of experiences and goes into void space in between galaxies and universes and then begins collecting all of its light from many different places, spaces, and expressions. It then compresses and becomes the first galactic or universal central sun, depending on what its choice is. As it's compressing, it is going to invite other beings from other places and spaces to come and make the first ancestral guide, balance, or link to this new place or space. This is how portals are open. So once it becomes that prime creator, it invites all these other beings to become part of a collective or oneness field. Now, the universe where we live in is one giant oneness field. So everything you describe still comes down to technically we're all one, but parts of the prime creator can be much older or much younger. And the very older version of prime creator can travel back in time and meet me or you and see, realize there's a younger version of prime creator, or meet the younger version of prime creator who doesn't know what that's been created yet, which is the language of what you just described, getting people in a chain of experiences to create mass amounts of light in a place that had no light before. And you need many different archetypes to generate a desire from other beings of light to come and get that type of experience. That's why every solar system has a star is formed out of many beings who have many connections to many different places and spaces. And once that star is formed, celestial beings will come and create planets who will then have a sub-frequency of time and invite through the star or the portal younger beings to come and age themselves in light through an experience in the celestial world.
Yes. For the work. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Tim.
Yeah. Lots of things to think about. Andrew, how do you react to these words? The real challenge for each of us is to recognize what references in creation have real value and which ones do not.
Very good statement. And I'll put it like this. There are times that something that has zero value to you, decades later, will have complete value to you. So in the moment, if we no longer use judgment as a form of perception and allow an open conclusion to define a form of reality, all forms of energy can flow through you, within you, and your knowingness can rapidly expand many different ways. And another thing is this awakening we're going through, one of the biggest issues with the lightworker community is they're constantly saying, it's a collective awakening. We're all going to do it at the same time. Bull hockey. It is an individual awakening first. And then once a group of individuals go through an awakening, they begin to form the first collectives of people who have sovereign space and time and cannot be affected by bullets, dollars, and economics. So value of truth in the moment is still based off of your perception, your perspective, and how expansive you allow yourself to be. So values and variables mean something to you.
Thanks again. And I have another thing I'm wondering about. Can you tell what you see in the Akashic records about the new presentation?
Well, I kind of indicated it earlier. It's like a bell curve. As you guys begin to produce light and let go of the dirty light that's been trying to influence you, everyone, for decades, and you produce more and more pure light, this whole perspective will act like wildfire to those that already have a spiritual contract with each and every one of you as part of this presentational process. That is a constantly evolving process that must act and react to modern concepts, such as Trump in office right now. It's greatly upsetting thousands of soul families who never thought this would happen because they're poisoning this perception of patriotism in the office versus the politics of 2008 mortgage scandal. Not one banker ever went to jail. That's poisoning the system itself. So the journey here is to understand the greater perspective and how you can disentangle from it, so that your presentation can connect to everybody's limited perspective. there might be a handful of words you say in one show that creates a super fan a year from now. Or there might be five shows that it takes to convince this person to listen to you once a month. And as you begin to put more light out and people begin to learn how to use this light and not absorb it and take it, but actually create more light with it, this is where that bell curve of your presentation goes through the roof.
Yeah, thanks again for answering the questions. I'm not sure if we have Sandy on the line today or not, if she'd like to ask or mention anything.
Sandy had to leave, but Quadi's still here. If you have anything else, Quadi.
Yes, sir. Sandy is sort of my Jerry twin is what we call ourselves, that we look at things and see what presents itself in the form of pictures or sounds or guidances. And we're working on this information to expand what we have here of awareness that the rest of the planet is in denial of. I'll say that. They don't want to accept the idea that, yes, what's happening now is not always of their choosing. They're being enslaved. They're forced to live lives of total devastation. So many things that have happened in the last few years have been just simply astounding at what is being fostered on the population of this planet. The humans are trying to survive. The extraterrestrials who want the benefits of this planet want to take it over. And they want slave workers to provide the workforce and, of course, to provide sustenance. We see ourselves sometimes as just cattle, just here for other extraterrestrials who are very sick to take and use to sustain themselves. But this has to stop. There is a stopping point. You do not allow things to go beyond and not stand up and say something. We're very in a deep, deep, I'm going to say, pot of boiling water, so to speak, and we need to get out of it and get on with our lives. And, of course, to do that, we've got to recognize what's right in front of us. Even though we can't see it or interact it or hear it or feel it or touch it, it's still there. And where is it also? Inside of ourselves. We need to break those contracts. In the new presentation, it's get rid of the tap lines. The extraterrestrials tap line us for their own purpose, and it's not good or healthy or for our benefit. So somebody mm-hmm. has to stand up and say, stop, enough is enough.
And the individual has to do it. So there are a lot of people that like to do collective meditations, and I'm not a big fan of them because oftentimes they create a very dirty prayer environment. There are a lot of people that don't know how to pray, let alone have the joy of prayer. And when you have these collective meditations, lots of things can go wrong. That's why the individual must make those standard contract revocations as part of their name it to claim it journey. And I have on my website, andrewbartzis.com, 7 forms of contract revocation, 1 for government, 1 for banking, 1 for media, 1 for the divine feminine, 1 for the divine masculine. I also have one what's called the union and communion collective consciousness strike, which defines what the off-world beings are doing to us through tacit consent. And it poetically weaves a way to disentangle yourself from the journey of many thousands of lifetime where tacit consent has been used against you.
That's very interesting stuff. All right. How do you see the 5G and the chemtrails and the vaccines and all these things that are taking place on the earth right now?
So once again, my cosmology may differ from you. 5G is bad, but is nowhere near as bad as they're trying to tell you. They're trying to create all this fear around it
so that you don't really realize what it does. Once 5G is connected, what it can do is upload information into your knowingness and take it away from you. Yes, it can make you sick. Yes, it can do all this other stuff, but it's not really there to make everyone sick. There's only certain amounts of types of DNA that will be radically affected by it, but its main purpose is to take information or put information into you, because we are a being that are still connected to the oneness field. Now, vaccines, they're meant to keep certain types of souls out of this reality so they cannot produce light, so they cannot in turn activate the inner geniuses of others.
Thanks again, Andrew.
And
does anyone else have a question?
Chemtrails, Andrew.
That's weather control and modification. So our weather, first thing first, is Roman numeral time binds us all together in what I call a negative collective. And weather is our uncollective species trying to come together and make a balanced weather journey. Before Roman numeral time, weather and weather manipulation was really rampant. Weather was what it is based off of how we were evolving as a species. So weather control and weather modification is meant to keep us as an uncollective to not come together as a collective.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'd say that what on our side, what we're trying to do here, we're all together in the same life, but what we're doing in the new presentation is to create references for people to again, be able to find themselves outside the matrix or outside the worlds of creation so they can have a, you know, be who they really are as free beings of real light. So all we can really do is give hints, point the way, give references, and we feel we're for the front lines here in the galaxy, basically, of the universe, front lines in terms of doing that, because we have the best references. We have the real guides that we work with who have been able to leave the matrix. They've been able to figure it out, get beyond it into the real universes, into this area. You know, we call it the seventh level, or again, these are just terms we use, but they're references that point to certain realities. So we work with the real guides, and we help others to become more aware so they can, because this is a hard place. It's hard to have a human shell and wear it and drag it around. And there's a lot of influences both within and without that we have to deal with and manage. So it's not easy for people. And we're here just doing our part, public service, you could call it, and just appreciate you being here, you know, and doing what you
Thank
do.
You.
Yes.
Well, what you were saying kind of triggered something into me. And I sent to your email one of my contract revocations and invocations, and this one is about dragons. And I'm going to push this a little bit and see if somebody – I actually just sent it to your email. It's about 4 pages long, and it defines what you're talking about, past, present, future, I am-ness, is-ness, was-ness, and were-ness. And these are very powerful things. Tens of thousands of people have used these all over the world. A lot of people who use ayahuasca ceremonies have been using my contract revocations as a part of purging their very negative frequencies in them or to engage more potent frequencies of spiritual traveling. I just want to say, would you want to try to read one of these or maybe share it with the group?
See, let me open it up here.
It's an attachment in the email there.
Yes. So
this is a form of prayer. Yeah, to start from the beginning. It's a form of prayer. Just when you're reading it out, see yourself projecting your voice as to all of the guides and guardians that you're working with. As I said, it's a form of prayer, a form of revocation and invocation, so new perceptions can come to you.
Yes,
this will greatly open up some of – go ahead.
I call to my sacred celestial medicine spread I call to my dragon guides, those who have been with me since the dawn of all my eternal births. I call to my earth mother who holds celestial medicine space from my sacred dream of dreaming. A whole mother of all dragon kind of our time space equation. I ask you to come and sit in elder council with the communal. I am precognitive workforce. A whole dragon kind that is a service to the fifth and sixth world of universal peace. Come sit in sacred fire with all our I am selves in service to the fifth and sixth worlds of peace. Maybe you can define fifth and sixth worlds of peace.
We are in the fifth world of peace right now, which is the four previous worlds were the worlds of destruction, domination, and control. And when we come into universal ceremonial peace, that is the journey of what it takes to let go of the dystopian futures that annihilists are trying to create, where we our light is so strong, it cannot be annihilated by others' belief.
Are these similar to yugas or that sort of thing?
No, this is an individual way of saying I'm separating myself from the grander fake cycle of forced evolution.
Okay. I speak to the spirit of the peacemakers, fire, a whole friend, fire. I ask you to carry my prayer words to the seven directions of life flow. A whole friend, crow, guardian of sacred universal law, sit with us and co-create this message of universal ceremonial peace. Aho, my spirit friends, I honor you in these moments with these words of unity. The time is now, and the power is in eternal, internal, external self-honesty of peace. We, the living beings of the manifest now, bear the responsibility of acting in the now. We each have an inner responsibility of self-exploration, self-reflection, and self-honesty that defeat habit patterns that create false illumination. Your dragon kind are here to be teachers at new layers and levels of reflection, helping us pull back the membranes of cooperative separation, creating the duality we perceive and believe in. What is dragon kind then? What would that be?
The dragons are an elemental force created by the celestial mind for each individual person during your fetus process that connects you to the infinite pattern of synchronicities, past, present, and future. They also help you travel between realms, and everyone has a dragon spirit that works with them through their lineage.
Okay, and then goes on to say, I break all contracts, vows, and agreements with the previous generation's definition of dragons. I break the myths in every time stream, galaxy, and universe I exist on. For the express purpose of knowing dragons this lifetime without other lifetimes interfering with what is in potential just for me during this great dream time awakening. So, again, yes, I was invocating my guides with this, and basically I've had experiences where they do break agreements for me on my request. Sometimes I have to go on and with the experience so I can learn from myself, because as I'm maturing as a free being of light, they like me to, you know, go through the experience so that it's not done for me, so I can learn for myself. But
exactly.
I've had this several times where the contracts have been, I recognize that it's been broken. I feel it, and it's a relief. It's just the more awareness, more light, and you feel lighter, and it's, you can go on again.
Exactly.
So, yes. So this is also like you said, it's an ongoing, I believe in the beginning of our show, you said it's an ongoing process where it's just, you just keep going with it. We have this perception, a lot of people do, where you go to a heaven, or you're become enlightened and somehow, and you've got it. You're there, and basically that kind of sounds boring in a way because it gets old pretty fast, even though it could take eons. But after a while, you know, you're wondering, is there anything more? So I like what you say about it keeps going. You know, you keep becoming more mm-hmm. aware, and that's what basically you take on if you want to take this adventure on, this journey, because most people don't.
Exactly.
You know, they're not ready, or they're just not, their comfort level is such that, you know, they want to be taken care of by others, and they like the authoritarians in a way, subconsciously, they like to be told what to do. But
exactly. And this type of document is to give your authority back, so you don't give your authority away. So you can have an experience that is undeniably your own individuated mystical connection to all that is, was, and ever will be.
Exactly, yes. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge. We use the word, we sing the new you sound to do this with. We kind of cut through the chase, and we're the same thing. We're not into group invocations and meditations and things like that. It's like you say, it's an individual journey, but in the journey, we support each other. We see each other, basically.
Exactly.
We see each other, and that's why we see the importance of supporting each other in whatever community it's in, whether it's physical mm-hmm. or astral. So this is it's times like this where we share and we can come together and just like share experiences. We do a lot of sharing of real side experiences, because from mm-hmm. that we can get new views. It's about, we see ourselves as a view in the universe, basically,
yep.
in reality. You know, without, they just strip everything clean, all our bodies, and we're just a view. So by other people sharing their views, we can get in a way a bigger picture of what's going on, and then we can become more aware and continue the journey.
And then integrate it.
Yes. Yeah.
See, well, documents like these are meant to help people integrate experiences. As it goes on, it each paragraph is designed to help you integrate and expand, integrate and expand, integrate and expand. And it uses the terms peacekeeper, peacemaker, and connections to all that is, was, and ever will be, so that you can integrate those experiences.
Yeah, it takes a while to process this information as information and knowledge first, and then the recognition comes where you just it's not about knowledge anymore. It's just about the perception and being it, and then then you're just it. You're just like the wind. You know, you don't even exist in a way. It's really cool. Go ahead, Tim or Claudia, if you're there. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was wondering, Andrew, when you say this word prayer, are you praying to something outside of yourself?
No. There are times that there are prayers that have perceptions of externality, but a prayer, first thing first, is a service to your individuated soul so that you can then begin to express things that don't have expressions to them. Prayer is a contribution and service to the oneness field. Is that external of you? Technically, it isn't. It's only our layers of perception that perceive us separate of God or separate of the universe or separate of the galaxy or individuation. And it's just the duality that we live in that prevents us from allowing all that is, was, and ever will be to be non-duality, non-separation, non-competition, non-hierarchical expression. And prayer, when it becomes a contribution and service to all that is, was, and ever will be, it's not external.
Yeah, thanks. That answered my question. I'd like to share a part of a paragraph from one of the Adventurous books by Dwayne, the great writer, A Journey to Real Freedom. Before there was creation, there is always the all is. The all is decided creation as a simulator with a beginning, a duration of what has become known as time and space, and an ending, so that a new cycle of creation can take place as each unaware soul decides its own journey through the endlessness life is.
Great statement. It can be greatly expanded upon also. We have what I call eras of light, where let's just look at one galaxy. And just like we have years, there are eras of light that come where life is highly produced, like the last era of, like right now we're beginning a brand new era of light in our galaxy. And the old era is ending. And what we're experiencing is the end of the old eras, and those old beings must move on to the new era of light, and no longer are going to have the same potency and power that they did before. And those other beings who grew up during that other era of light must now take up their legacy and responsibility to their own light frequencies. And yes, it is an endless journey, but people do become part of an era of light to come and learn about it, and in an unawareness, as a conscious choice too.
Yes, thanks again. This real guidance and real education, do you think that it's time for everybody on this particular planet, or maybe some other planets, to not have to reincarnate in the physical realm anymore unless they decide to come back?
So part of the new era of light is those annihilists, those that want to uncreate everything, they manipulated karma to create uncreational events. And karma and reincarnation, like you've described, is no longer going to be used as part of our fundamental rules of the universe. There will be no longer any karmic debt passed on from generation to generation. And that's what the Prime Creator has learned from the last era of light, or the many eras of light before that, so that new forms of experiences can be had, and the annihilists won't be a part of that. A new universe or a new galaxy has been created, so those that want to have an annihilist expression can go somewhere else and not uncreate our experiences or force us back into reincarnation. So yes, karma as a karmic debt and karmic vehicle debt will no longer be used as a fundamental of our expression. But individuals must make that choice. And yes, there's going to be a great migration of souls out of this galaxy who are going to go to somewhere else who want to continue that karmic debt journey. And others that don't, they'll get to experience the new earth, the new world, the new experiences that doesn't use karmic debt vehicles as things that suppress your abilities.
Thanks again. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say or any questions?
I'd just like to thank Andrew for coming on. And I really appreciate the knowledge, information, the insight you have. And thanks for the reading. And is Claudia still there? Maybe.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm just fascinated by what he has spoken. He is the most intense. Okay. Thank you, sir. We enjoyed your presentation. It was fabulous.
Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful also.
Well, unless anybody else has something they'd like to say, Andrew or Val, or I guess that's all of us. We have Claudia, you, I, and Val. As far as I understand, that's all that's on this show right now. So if there's anything anybody would like to say before we end it.
No, you guys have been wonderful. Very, very, you guys are very knowledgeable.
Now, I'd suggest, or just a suggestion, I read your little prayer. Maybe you could try the new you sound before bed tonight and see what life shows you.
Sure, I will.
Yeah, it goes. We can sing it to you, or you can join us maybe here. We usually do it at the end of the show, so.
Okay.
We just everybody can do it together, so you can get us.
Yeah,
so we
great.
Start.
Thank you, everybody, for being involved with the show today, and it'll be available for people to listen to on the Kelsey Lynn Brown's Facebook or YouTube.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Blog Talk Radio. So there usually is a lot more people that listen to it at some time when they're available to hear it. Well, thanks again, Andrew. That was a lot to try and digest and understand, and we appreciate it. And maybe sometime we can have you back again to interview.
Sure.
We're thankful.
To
yeah, great. Then
Thank
I
you.
Guess we'll see everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Andrew.
Hi, everyone. You're welcome.
Everybody.
Have a great day. All right. Bye, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.